As we find ourselves today on the last day of Hanukkah, it's called Zot Hanukkah, I want to reflect a little bit about the holiday this year, and for that matter, the holiday every year. One of the interesting things about Jewish tradition is the overlay between the holiday of Hanukkah and the Yosef story, which means we always read, and again, it could be some years, like this year is Vayeshev, most years it would be Miketz, some years Miketz and Vayigash, and obviously it could also be Vayeshev and Miketz, if I'm not mistaken. But it's the story of Yosef is in the background. One of the sad parts of the Hanukkah story is the acknowledgement that there was an element of a civil war, which was there as well. It was not just the Jews and the Greeks, there was also the Hellenized Jews. It was these people who chose to associate with the Greeks rather than with their Jewish tradition. And therefore, this point of Yosef and the brothers, or the brothers and Yosef, having the tension between them, that really forms as an ironic, but I don't think it's ironic. I think it's one of the things that Chazal were trying to do, was to create this correlation to understand the terrible damage that can take place when we find Jews fighting with one another. And I'll say as an aside, this year, if we looked before October 7th, there was a great deal of tension that took place in the land of Israel between different factions, different parts of society. And somehow on October 7th, I won't even say somehow, but if anything one can imagine something came out of it which wasn't negative, it was that people joined together. People joined together, be it the soldiers fighting, being those supporting the soldiers behind. We found ourselves on October 8th being people who were far more unified, exponentially so, than we were before then. So I want to, as I said, take a little look at something which will connect between the Hanukkah and the Yosef story. The Talmud tells us, and this is found in Shabbat on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Bet, this is where, to a great extent, the story or the laws of Hanukkah are found. We find a teaching which is from a particular tradition. It says, Amar Rav Kahana Darash Rav Natan Bar Maimuni Mishmei Derebi Tanchum. So what is the teaching which originates with Rabbi Tanchum? It says, Ner Shochanaka Shehinicha Lamala Miyasrim Ama Psula. You cannot have the candle, the light of Hanukkah, more than 20 amot high. Approximately, we can say that that is 10 meters. And it says it's similar to the laws of a sukkah and a mavoi, having to do with the laws of sukkah and the laws, a particular law of Erev. Then the Talmud continues and gives us another teaching from the exact same tradition. Ve'amar Rav Kahana, Dorish Rav Natan Bar Maimuni Mishmei Derav Tanchum. And notice the Vav, Ve'amar, and he also said, which it seems, you know, there's always this possibility that the Talmud is telling us one teaching from this tradition, so there's another one as well. But over here it doesn't seem just to be, let me report the various things, with the Vav, and he said, would seem to indicate that perhaps there's some kind of a connection between the two. So the second tradition is, my dichtiv, what does it mean when it says, and this will go back to Parshat Vayeshev, v'haborik ein bo mayim, and the well that Yosef was thrown into was empty and there was no water. Bimash mishenem haborik, once you said that it was empty, that the well was empty, eini yodea she'ein bo mayim, don't I know that there was no water? Elama talmud lomar ein bo mayim, what does it mean when it says there's no water? Mayim ein bo, water was not found there. It was absent. It didn't have any water. Avon nechashim v'akravim yeshpo. But it did have snakes and scorpions. Now, at face value, this is a little strange, because Reuven was the one who wanted to save Yosef, and we're told that. One of the few cases the Torah tells us his intention. It says, let's throw him in the pit in order to save him from his brothers afterward. Now, if he wants to save him, why would you put him in a place which had snakes and scorpions? Why put him in a place that his life would be left in a precarious situation? So, apparently, he didn't know that there were snakes and scorpions inside. Why wouldn't he know? Well, perhaps that's exactly the correlation of the two teachings. Perhaps this bor was deeper than 20 amot. And just like the Hanukkah candle should not be put 20 amot above, so too, in this well, it was 20 amot deep. And what was there beyond the 20 amot, there were the snakes and scorpions, and therefore would be telling something similar. But I think we can go perhaps a little bit further. The truth is that we can see something. It's possible to see something which is 20 amot high. This is just not convenient. One has to stretch a little bit. When Rav Soloveitchik taught this idea, he said that part of the idea of Pursumei Nisa, to publicize the miracle, is to make it accessible. Somebody shouldn't have to lift their chin, those were his words. Someone have to lift their chin and look upward to see something which is not easily seen. The idea of Pursumei Nisa, to publicize effectively, is to have an effective ad campaign. What's an effective ad campaign? To put it in a way that people can see it, not in a way that a person has to work much harder to see it. So there is this, therefore, concept, I would say, of strategy in terms of publicizing and accessibility. So therefore, more than 20 amud, it's not impossible, but you have to work a little bit harder. Same thing over here, and they put them into this pit. They didn't look that well. It was beyond 20 amud, so therefore one would have to look really carefully to discern that there was something which was life-threatening inside there, and that was not done. But perhaps this can help us with another turn of phrase, which I want to note. When Yosef was on the way to see the brothers, I mean, first of all, we're told that Yaakov sends him, or if you want to be more specific, Yisrael sends him. So maybe there's more of a national aspect to this. This is something which perhaps had to happen. And then just like Yaakov years ago, he had bumped into an anonymous man, an Ish, along the way. So too does Yosef. He bumps into this man. Now, why in the world would it tell us, you know, long traveling along the way, he bumps into somebody and asks him, where are my brothers? So I said, somewhat jokingly, that maybe this is the first time in biblical history that a man asked for instructions of how to get someplace. Well, some of you will not find that terribly amusing. And most likely, there's a much deeper explanation for this. And that is that Yosef needed to end up where he needed to end up, which means as much as the brothers have responsibility, there was a hand of God over here, which was kind of pushing to making sure that this is what was going to take place, which means there was a covenant with Abraham and his descendants will end up in the land of Egypt, even though it never mentioned Egypt, but they're going to end up in a land which isn't theirs, and God was going to help this happen. How it happened, what were the conditions for it? Obviously, again, people have free choice, but even though Yaakov or Yisrael sends Yosef to the north, and he can't find the brothers in the place that he was sent to, nonetheless, the consequences are going to be that Yosef will end up south, he'll end up in Egypt. But after he meets this person, and Yosef says something which, again, haunts me, where this man asks him, you know, what are you looking for? You know, matavakesh, what do you seek? But Yomer, and Yosef said, etachai enochi mevakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. And I think that that never changes in Yosef's life. I think he's always looking for his brothers. The question is, are his brothers ever looking for him? And then we get to the key phrase. It says that Yosef then is directed towards a place called Dotan, and he starts traveling towards that place. And then the words read, V'yir'u oto merachok. They saw him from afar. Now, till now, that's exactly what I've been speaking about. The ease of seeing something from afar, or how hard you have to work sometimes when you see something from afar. The way that in the story of Hanukkah, when the laws of Hanukkah, when you want to see the candles from afar, it's not always that easy because you can't always discern exactly what is the message. They saw him from afar. And maybe that's exactly the tragedy. The brothers never saw Yosef from up close. They only saw him from afar. There was this, I will say, exaggeration of who they thought he was based upon not really knowing him well. And of course you could tell me that's absurd. He's their brother. They should know him well. But they judged him. There was a prejudice. There was a jealousy. And there was hatred. It's all the things that we need in order to become dysfunctional. Seeing somebody only from afar. Seeing someone only from afar is what caused the problem here. Which means when it comes to celebrating Hanukkah, which also has this element of a civil war, it's not enough to see from afar. We have to make it more accessible. When it comes to that pit that Yosef was thrown in, they only looked from afar. And that's the connection of those two teachings. They never looked inside how dangerous that really was. One of the takeaways of Hanukkah is the law is ner ish uveto. One candle for an entire household. We had broken households. We had families that fought one with another. And now we're told, just like a mezuzah on that door of the house, one mezuzah is enough for the entire house, one candle is enough for the entire family. Which means it's not enough that the Beit HaMikdash becomes sanctified and we find that oil and becomes holy again. Every Jewish home needs to have that light within it. But it's one light for the entire home. And that speaks towards unity. That speaks towards seeing something up close. That speaks to not misinterpreting messages when you only look from afar. we need to publicize in a proper way. We need to make sure that it's accessible. And we need to always understand that we are one family. Chanukah Sameach. And may God protect all of the soldiers. May the prayers of the entire people help to protect them. And they all come home to their families, complete, whole, and healthy.